from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
4 o'clock on a Monday, 2 weeks away from Labor Day. Yes! I am excited. I love that time of year. Fall, football, foliage. The big three F's. Fall, football, and foliage.
And Mike. Farewell to summer.
And get the hell out of here, summer.
You hate it?
I don't like summer, no.
It's too hot?
It's too hot for me.
Too rainy?
Too hot, too rainy. Like, I think the problem was today was very hot for me. And I'm going to a Met game later tonight. And so I wanted to be comfortable. So I wore like the lightest t-shirt I could wear. Uh-huh. And the problem is every time I look at myself in the mirror, all I see is man boobs. And so it kind of bothers me that here I am trying to be comfortable. And all I see is like, my God, I need to go on a diet. I need to eat. I thought I was going to start eating better once I started working with Tiki.
Just go work out.
Oh, yeah. Just go work out. Oh,
the jelly donut.
Hard. It's not hard.
No, wake up and go for a walk. Go for a jog.
When I wake up right now, because my kids are not in school yet.
Take them with you.
That's true. I guess I can. All right, I'm going to go work out tomorrow.
Hey, Jet, let's go for a walk.
Let's go for a walk.
Fantastic.
All right, I'm going to give that a try tomorrow. Thank you.
You might want to just put him on his bike so you can run after him.
That's a good idea. And I can walk my dog while I do it, too.
See how solutions are come about? Just ask.
That's why I brought it up.
I got for a nice jog in the walk.
Thank you. You've given me some great advice. Now I'm going to get in shape, and hopefully by next summer I won't look at myself in the mirror and say, what is that standing over there? I did get an email this morning that I wasn't sure how I was going to react to. The email said, renew your Met tickets for 2025, and also take your postseason tickets. I was like, oh, postseason tickets. What up? So I saw the postseason tickets.
Presumptuous, but whatever.
Say it one more time.
Presumptuous, but
I'll defend the Mets in this regard. I think that...
No, I know. They have to do it now.
Yeah, you kind of...
There's not enough time.
Because the way it works is they give... And the Yankees, too. I'm sure they're sending it out recently. Maybe they've already done it, or maybe it's happening real soon. They got to send it out to know how many season ticket holders are going to pay that kind of money.
Yeah.
Because postseason tickets are very, very expensive. So postseason, okay, fine. Got no issue with that. I'm not confident the Mets are going to make the postseason, but they are two games out. Braves lost to Austin O'Reilly today. Sure. And I quickly go to my renewal for next year, and I'm like, all right, what'd they do? Did they lower prices? Did they keep the prices the same? Did they raise the prices? And I will tell you, because I did some math, and my dad's a CPA, that my prices were raised 6%. Okay? 6%. Now, there's an extra Yankee game, okay?
Okay.
There's an extra Dodger game.
Those are more valuable.
So I think that 6% is probably not completely fair in terms of there's a few better games.
Yeah, on par, it's probably less than 6%.
It's a race.
Yeah.
Here's what I know. I have to send the baseball team I love more money than I did last year. And so before any emotions hit me, texted my dad, and my dad had a response. And this response perfectly encapsulates how I feel about this. Okay?
Yes.
And then I'll give you the details on everybody else. Because I have done my research to find out, hey, my prices were raised. What about everybody else? But my dad's response is how I feel. Okay. You want to raise my ticket prices? I'm okay. I'm not mad. You better go get me the big fish now come this offseason. You want to raise my prices? You want to tell the premium ticket holders, hey, we're raising your prices off a year that likely doesn't see the postseason? Then come the offseason, let's start with the obvious one. Let's just get it out of the way. Give me Juan Soto and give him to me hard and long.
what?
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. I was very excited.
And you're worried about the hot tour girl with your mouth on you?
I can tell.
Get me Juan Soto.
I thought you were going to say, keep me Pete Alonso.
I'll get to him. He's not number one. I love you, Pete, but not number one.
Interesting.
If you want to raise our ticket, because here's my philosophy on life. I really believe this. You get what you pay for. Okay?
Fact.
When you spend a lot of money to sit first class on an airlines, you're damn right.
Yeah, especially when they
expect it.
Especially when they come around with those free beverages.
You give me the free beverages, you give me the towel I put on my face, and while it's expensive and we all can make our individual decisions on if it's worth it or not, mm-hmm. you're giving me what I paid for. And I'm good with that. Like, I'm good with that. So if the New York Mets off a season in which it's probably not going to end all that well, if we're being honest with each other. Well, I mean, we'll see. Never know.
It depends. Depends on what your expectation is.
Okay. Probably not ending all that well.
It could end well.
It could,
Even without a World Series, I think it could end well.
You give me a deep postseason run, I'd say it ended
That's
well.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Wasn't a huge trade deadline, which I understood. Wasn't a huge offseason last year. But if you're going to raise my ticket prices, I'm talking to you, Steve, and I hope you're listening, then I have big expectations. So I'm not ripping you today. I'm not mad. I'm not offended. I'm not angry. That wouldn't be true to who I am and how even my dad felt.
Right.
We have the same response. Get me Juan Soto.
It just sounds like you're putting your reaction on pause.
I'm putting my reaction on pause. Yes.
I reserve the opportunity to come back at you at a later date with different types of ire.
Correct.
If you don't go get me Juan Soto.
Now, let me start with Juan, because that's not it. I'm also not an idiot. I understand the Mets could make Juan Soto a monstrous offer. He could stay with the New York Yankees. I'm not giving you any kind of delusional opinion that he's definitely going to come here. I have no idea. But you need to be the highest bidder. We'll start there. You better be the highest bidder.
If you're the highest bidder, don't you get him?
A lot of times you do. Sometimes you don't. You never know. I mean, maybe he loves the pinstripes.
Yeah, right. San Diego didn't get Judge.
Right. Absolutely.
Circumstances. I got it.
I hold out judgment that, as aggressive as they may be in trying to get the best available player and a real generational talent, they may not get. Secondly, then go get me Corbin Burns.
Mm.
Don't let Pete Alonso walk away. Have a big offseason. And look, we'll have a lot of time to talk about what a big offseason is. I'll certainly do it a lot on the Rico Bronya. We'll do it around here. But this upcoming offseason, when you raise ticket prices for me, this is me speaking, has now raised the bar that if you're going to charge me more, I expect more. Mm-hmm. When the Wilpons, to their credit, never raised ticket prices on me for like 9 years.
Well, that's because the product wasn't improving.
Exactly. My attitude was, and I remember saying this on the air, I said, please raise my ticket prices. I would rather you raise my ticket prices so that you can then go out and go get the big fish, which they never did. So I'm not crying poor saying I don't want to spend more money. I'm saying I'm willing to spend more money if you give me what I want.
Yeah, we just want to win.
We want to win. Yeah. We want to go after big fishes. And for all of you guys, specifically Tommy, who won't give the New York Mets a dime, trust me, it's okay. I'll lead you.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy that gives them my money to get us great players. I got no problem with that. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anyone feel bad, but I'm good with that.
The question is this across the board ticket price raising? Because if it's across the board, that's a different story.
So here's the information.
Is it just you highfalutin folks?
Well, I want to differentiate. I don't believe I'm highfalutin. I sit in the 300 level. Like, I'm not sitting with all-you-could-eat food. Like, I'm classified as a premium seat.
You bring your own food anyway, so it doesn't
matter. You're damn right. I'm bringing Chipotle today, by the way.
Love it.
That's right. What?
Aren't you going there with somebody?
I'm going there with an auction winner. Someone won an auction to go with me to a game, and I'll teach them how to score the game. I'll buy them food, but I'm not buying myself food. No. I'm going to offer them food, but I'm not buying myself food.
Did you ask them if they might want Chipotle?
No, that's weird. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, why start now being weird?
I can't score games and go shag. No. What I'm going to do at the game is I'm going to say, do you guys want food? Mm-hmm. I'd love to get it for you. And I will get it for
you. Why don't you like eating ballpark food?
I give the Mets enough of my money, and I want to take a break. Is that okay? They just charged me more money. Mm. I got to give them more money? I don't want to give them any more money. I gave money yesterday. I went to the Met game with my son. I bought him ice cream. Enough.
Okay, when you go to a movie, do you bring your own popcorn?
Do I give the movie theaters like $15,000 a year of my own money? Do I?
No. Okay. It depends on how many movies you go to. But yeah. No, not usually.
I don't. So
you're just trying to be judicious with who you give your money to.
I think I
give them... You spread it out more.
I think I give them enough of my money. You guys make me feel guilty like I have to give them even more of my money.
It's just curious.
I gave them my money yesterday. I bought ice cream. I gave my money Friday. I bought more ice cream for Jet. Today I'll give them my money, but I'll do that for an auction winner. I'm not doing it for myself. And so don't you think it'd be weird for me to say to these guys, hey, taking you to the game... By the way, do you want me to pick up Chipotle for you? That is so strange.
Well, it's better than I'm not gonna eat. But do you guys want anything? I'll get it for you.
No, I'm gonna eat the Chipotle before I walk into the stadium. I'm not gonna eat the Chipotle in front of.
No,
I got
no,
Chipotle,
no.
Which is maybe better than what I'm gonna get you. But do you want something?
You gotta eat with them. You gotta bring the Chipotle in with them.
Nah, I'm not doing that.
Come on. And by the way,
I'm scoring the game. I don't like to eat while I'm scoring. I gotta focus.
You talk about giving the Mets more of your money. Chipotle should send you a handwritten thank you note. You basically kept them in business the last 10 years. So how much money are you going to give
as
them?
As much Chipotle as I get, trust me, I give them less than 1% of what I give the Mets, so far less than 1%.
Okay, guys, Carlos Mendoza is meeting the media right now. We have a Brandon Nimmo update. The MRI came back clean.
Oh, good.
Great.
So I mentioned before, he's not in the starting lineup, but he was available off the bench based on the lineup card that beat reporters have put out on Twitter. But the MRI came back clean.
All right, good. So he's not in the lineup today. We'll see if he's there tomorrow, but it sounds like no IL stint.
But available tonight?
I'm still waiting on that. Like I said, on that lineup card, it said bench.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
So, who knows?
All right. Well, so good news around Brandon Nimmo. Now, let me answer your question. Premium seats, which I guess my seats include.
Yeah.
Even though, again, I'm not, getting free food and free drinks.
But you are right behind the dish, right?
I am behind the plate. Okay. I'm on the second level.
Okay. That's premium.
You want to call that premium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Premium.
What row are you?
First row.
Yeah, you're premium. Come on now.
Okay.
Are you right in the foul ball line?
I mean, I'm directly behind the plate,
Yeah, you're in premium.
So the premium seats...
Big timer.
...all got races, okay? And they're about 4%. The non-premium seats, so those are the seats that are not behind home plate, some in the upper deck, some in the field level, actually got decreases. Now, they're very small decreases at about 1.5%. So there's a big part of the ballpark that actually got... A little bit, tiny bit of a decrease, but the premium people, the people that pay more money, are facing an increase. So here's the bottom line. It's kind of like America. We'll pay for everything.
Top 1%, top 5%.
And if Juan Soto signs with the Mets, like I am demanding, or Corbin Burns, Alex Bregman, no, I expect Tommy and many others to just simply say, thank you. Because we're paying for it, and that's okay. I'm good doing that. I'm good. That's why I'm not angry. If you're going to get me top-line food, I'll eat.
But you're reserving the right to be angry.
I think
if they do absolutely nothing this offseason, which is the reality.
Like, I'd be very upset. Yeah.
Pete could just whatever, and then Juan Soto doesn't happen, and then Corbin Burns isn't available or goes someplace else. Mm-hmm. You could end up doing absolutely nothing.
I could be very upset.
Just relying upon the kids to come up and be great.
Yeah, I could be very upset. There's a way that I could go back to this conversation in August and say, can you believe these bastards? They raised my ticket prices, and they weren't the highest bidder for Juan Soto and Corbin Burns. Like, yeah, I have the possibility that I'll be angry in January, but I'm being honest. Like, when I saw the increase, and I don't want to spend more money, trust me. Like, I'm every American. I'd rather not. But I also believe in getting what you pay for. And if the Mets are going to go out and they're going to be super aggressive during the offseason, which I expect, and I even expect more today than I did yesterday, then I'll pay for it. Then I'll be your Huckleberry, as Craig used to say.
You don't want to spend more money. You have season tickets for the Knicks. You don't even root for the Knicks. And you just got Jets season tickets.
That's a different story.
Okay.
That's a very different story.
All right, fine. Let's follow the bouncing.
The Knicks make sense.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
The Knicks are a business, man.
Exactly.
It's not a business. He wants to hold on to that one golden ticket when they get eliminated in the playoffs so he could celebrate that.
Okay, but also, it's always sold out.
Yeah.
Perpetually sold out, which means it's a valuable ticket.
Teak, you guys are both right, by the way. Like, Tiki's right that I like having it, and it's a valuable ticket. But Lugie's right that when I want to go to a game, I go to a game. And if I want to go to a game when there are tears in the air, I'm going to go to that game. There's nothing wrong with that. I can go to whatever the hell game I want to go when I have tickets.
No doubt
I don't have to
it.
Beg someone for tickets. They're my freaking tickets.
No, I get on that. By the way, with the Met thing, follow the bouncing ball. Why would Steve Cohen raise ticket prices in a year where attendance is down? Why would he do that?
Because he's going to spend big.
Bingo. Well, I mean, he's telling you that. No, you're demanding it. He's telling you that.
No, and I'm telling you that I'm okay with it. Now, I know that there are a lot of Met fans, and we'll hear from you, who may not be happy, who may have gotten their bill and they're angry about it. And that's cool. You have a right to be. Everyone reacts differently. The reason I'm not pissed is because they better go out and spend freaking money like it's going out of style.
Now, is it Juan Soto or bust, or is it anybody else as well?
So
I don't know who the other free agents, especially the bats.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other free agents are this offseason.
Okay, so...
So it's Soto, obviously. I guess Pete is in this conversation.
Sure, here, but, of course he is.
But who else is there?
So I want to be specific to this. Saying it's Juan Soto or bust is not fair. Because
he could just stay.
You could be the highest bidder and not get a guy. Yeah. You could even blow him away and not get the guy. So I think it comes down to you better be the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Like, I do expect that. You know, you're raising prices on me. Not everybody. Mm-hmm. I get that. But on me. So I'm giving you my opinion as an individual. As an individual, you better be the highest bidder. I'd be upset. I can't say or bust because free agency, you know, crazy things happen. You know, if he wants to stay with the Yankees, or if there is a secret city we're not even thinking of that he actually wants to play at, sometimes money can't buy you everything. So to me, the two guys that jump out at me are Juan Soto and Corbin Burnes. Those are the two guys that intrigue me. But sometimes it's not just the stars. It's getting a multitude of players that can help your roster. I'll bring up a funny name. I'll make everybody laugh right now. You know who I'd go after? It's going to cost me a lot of money.
Who?
Clay Holmes. What? What do you mean, what? I wouldn't want Clay Holmes in my bullpen? You're damn right I'd want Clay Holmes in my bullpen. Like, you go out and you sign Clay Holmes and Tanner Scott, and you're adding all these big free agent arms?
I could see it in that role. Makes sense.
Now, I'm not saying that's enough.
Obviously, it's not the finishing touches to a bullpen.
The specifics are for the offseason. I don't want to harp on that. I'm merely saying that that's the reaction, and certainly my dad had it. I had it too. Okay. Well, then, give me what I pay for. That's what I want.
What about if at least the effort was there?
And I just said, if you're the highest bidder, that's an effort.
Now, do we think that, all right, so then put your brain in the other brain of other Met fans, season ticket holders. They're pissed right now. They got the bill. But if we get Juan Soto, are they now, they got to be thrilled, right? And they're like you that are willing to pay.
You got to speak to every individual about that. Like, money's important and money matters. And you make decisions based on how much things cost. Like, there's a chance when I get home, because I haven't had a full conversation with my wife, when I tell her there's an increase, she may say, screw this, we're done. We got to get out of the Mets business.
Yeah, but if Roman Reigns is at the Garden in December, you're bringing your two kids. But if it's like, you know, whatever, Drew McIntyre, nothing against Drew, you might not spend that money. My point is that Juan Soto is such a draw that I think people are going to be willing to spend the money to go see Juan Soto, and attendance will go up a lot.
But here's the problem, Loogie. For a lot of us, and this goes with the Yankees as well, when their bill comes, you get the bill and you're forced to make a decision long before we know what happens in the offseason. So for anyone who's on the fence saying, hey, Ev, I agree with you, let me see them do it, then I'll say I'm back, you're not afforded that opportunity. Like, that's the way sports is. Yeah. That's not just the Mets. Like, I have to make a decision by next month. So I'm not
going to
know.
And you have no idea what's going to happen. Now, you look at the impending free agents, non-starting pitchers. We're talking Juan Soto, type of players. It's really just him. Cody Bellinger is going to be free.
From a position player standpoint, Alex Bregman is up there as well. But Juan Soto's the big one.
But do you want to go get an Alex Bregman when you have Vientos playing as well as
Here's the problem. You may get Alex Bregman to replace Pete Alonso, and Vientos may be the first baseman.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even about the specific players, because you're right. We can get into the weeds in free agency.
Yeah, the problem
is that my response is, okay, I'll give you more money. You better deliver in a big way during the offseason.
Yeah, but my point is, it feels like you're saying that, and it's just Juan Soto.
Not Corbin Burnes.
I'm talking about from a position player.
Okay. Well, Corbin Burnes is the best pitcher in baseball, side of Garrett Cole. Like, he's something. I mean, I'd be pretty excited if they got him. You know, I can't say it's Juan Soto or bust, because I think if they had an offseason where they added Corbin Burnes, signed a bunch of relievers, added, you know, one position player, kept Pete Alonso, I'd probably be excited. But as an American, I'm okay with getting what I pay for. I'll tell you a real quick story and we'll get to your calls. I'll never forget this moment. So I get a bill from the Brooklyn Nets, slashed my prices, went way down.
Wow.
And I was so excited. And I'm dancing around the studios. The Nets lowered my prices.
What did they take away?
About 2 weeks later, they took away Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Because I forget who said it to me. It may have been Spike, who was here. He's like, hey, I've ever wondered why they cut your prices? And I was like, oh, crap. And I'm not even joking,
you knew,
man.
Before you knew.
I had a bad feeling things were about to implode.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Nets still in the league.
So I don't even complain about my net prices because they're so cheap. And guess what? You get what you pay for, am I right? Yeah. Let's go to Ryan in Tarrytown. What's up, Ryan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure. What's up?
So I'm a disabled Army veteran as well as an Upper Deck New York Mets season ticket
holder. Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank
we appreciate
very
it.
Much, sir.
You're welcome. So I get the bill today, and I'm furious. For my Upper Deck seats, two seats in the Upper Deck, they raised the price for the playoffs. Not next season. I didn't even look at next season. For the playoffs, 3X, 4X, three, four times for this year's playoffs.
Yeah.
And I can't pull it off.
No, that one sucks, but I gotta
my friends, I can't afford the playoffs. So I'm really furious at Steve Cohen. I think that he's an imposter. That's how mad I am. And I thought he had a dollar, and the Mets, you want Soto? It's the blind leading the blind, gentlemen. That's all I got. Thank you.
A couple of things.
Thank you, Ryan.
Couple of things. I think when it comes to the playoffs, it's a different animal. Yeah. Like that, you got to know the prices are going up. They always go up for the postseason.
Yeah, and they send those the playoff. It's just to the season ticket holders, correct?
For now, you get to decide. Like Ryan gets to decide. Yes, I want my playoff tickets. He's deciding he can't,
right?
Because they're raised so greatly. Now, granted, a lot of what they're raising are rounds that may never happen.
Yeah.
The problem is they charge you 35%. You got to put down, but that's not a Met issue. That's an MLB issue. I've looked into that. That MLB requires that kind of stuff.
But for the Mets, I mean, how many season ticket holders are there?
I would guess.
It's not the whole stadium, obviously.
Well, put it this way. I'll play simple math on this. The lowest attended crowd I think they had this year was about 16 or 17,000. So the number is somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit lower. Just do the math on it.
Right. Because those guys, it's always sold even if their asses aren't in the seat.
Right. So I'd say like 13, 14,000 would be my guess.
Got it.
And so they have to decide on the postseason.
And so when you think about postseason and they're trying to sell tickets, right, they're trying to get ahead of, obviously, with the season ticket holders, but there's still 20, 30,000 seats almost.
They're going to go on sale for everybody else?
For everybody else.
Yeah.
Now, those are also raised.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're raised even higher.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So you're actually almost getting a deal because you're a season ticket holder.
You are
even though you don't want to hear it that way.
Well, the problem is you're getting a deal, but you're not getting a deal. So here's the issue that any Mets season ticket holder has had this season. You get a discount on what your tickets cost, right, from the average consumer.
Yeah.
But then no one wants to go. So when you list it on SeatGeek, it actually costs less than what you paid. So you're losing money.
So during a regular season, you'd be better off just buying when you want to go.
Unfortunately, yes. For a season like this, you would have been better off just going on SeatGeek and buying tickets from the secondary market because most games came in well below face value. Now, what does a playoff game look like? I have no idea. First of all, they have to get to a playoff game, which isn't even insured by being the third wildcard team because you have three games on the road. But we saw what happened against the Padres 2 years ago. Those prices ended up sinking.
Yeah.
So if you laid out the money to go to Mets Padres, you could have gotten it for less money by going on the secondary market.
Yeah, and that's a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mike in Elmont, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? Evan, I'm a very disgruntled Mets fan here, and it's about what you just said. So I live out in L.A., but I'm from Elmont. So I was in New York to go see the Dodgers series, and I bought tickets for the game that got canceled or whatever. You know, it got rained out, and they just like scrapped the tickets.
Then they played the doubleheader. Yes,
right. So I didn't get to go. So I'm going back to New York this week, and I was looking into getting my voucher, and I'm just looking now, and I'm like, I went on my Mets thing or whatever, and they still want to charge me. And mind you, I paid. It was for the Dodgers, and I was sitting first row in the Pepsi porch or Coke corner or whatever, and I wanted to get a Shohei Ohtani ball because my girlfriend, who's never been to a game, she's Peruvian. I was trying to introduce her to the sport and impress her.
Right.
So I paid $200 for the two tickets, way above face value, and now they want another $24 for me, at least, to get the upper nosebleed section somewhere for the Tuesday game. So I don't understand, like, why I can't even get, like a free ticket that I'm not even free. I paid for it.
But so where'd you buy the tickets from? Through the Mets or through a secondary market?
It was through a third party, through TickPick, I think.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem because I don't know what to do. No, I know. Dude, that situation sucks.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're trying to impress your Peruvian girlfriend. I once went out with a girl from Peru. It was interesting.
And?
Do tell.
What are you going to tell you?
How it ended, of course.
Why you ended up marrying a girl from Mexico.
Because I like her a lot better. That's for damn sure. I mean, we went out one time. We had a nice time, but it didn't go anywhere. It was kind of weird. Like, we had a good time, and then we were in the car. I was dropping her off, and she's like, you really need to leave right away. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, you got to leave right away. I mean, why?
Was it a bad neighborhood?
No, she said, my brother's coming home, and she can't see you. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Your brother can't see me. Like, I was so confused, and I drove away.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I deleted a number from my phone and said, okay, done with that. What the hell was
about the jumbo pack?
Yeah. No, not at all.
My brother couldn't see you. I was like, what the hell does that mean? Huh. Yeah. So you wanted to know what happened?
Would her brother have been disappointed?
I have no... You know,
he was a Yankee fan.
No, I don't think so.
It's racked my brain numerous times back then. I haven't thought about it in 12 years. Mm. Like, what was the issue? Like, was it because of what I look like? Was it because of my Met fandom? Mm. Like, does he know who I... I have no idea.
Maybe he had offended by red hair?
Very well could have been. Yeah. I don't know.
You should have kept her number, and then in the break, I could have called her and asked her. That's why you don't delete these numbers.
No. I delete all these numbers. Are you kidding me?
Well, all right. So
you'll end up divorced in a year.
So
I mean, come on.
Tell your wife you deleted them, and then write them in the little notes thing on the iPhone.
Oh, even better. This guy. Do not take advice from Tommy Lugauer. Please.
Agreed.
Lugie!
What was that?
What the hell is that? Write them in the notes.
I know.
The little notes section. That way you have it. But here's the thing. Had we had her number, we could get to the bottom of this.
You know what?
It's research purposes.
I don't want to get to the bottom of this. And even if I did have her number from like 12 years ago, you think she's going to remember a one-off date in Newark, New Jersey, in which she told some scrawny redhead, you need to leave because my brother is coming back soon? Mm. You think that's even in her memory?
She could be having the same conversation right now as we speak with her girlfriends right now saying, I was with this radio host, and I didn't care that he came in the house, right. But he ran away all nervous. Maybe she has a different side of it.
Great. Maybe he just didn't understand. It was lost in translation.
It's always possible. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, the Mets brought something back this weekend that I think is huge. We'll get to that coming up, plus more on Clay Holmes' struggles, and Daniel Jones is not long for this world. Evan and Tiki on this fine Monday here in New York City. We'll be at Giants camp tomorrow. We'll be doing our show live from, what's the name of their training facility again?
Quest
Diagnostics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to give that sponsor its due. So we'll be at the Giant facilities, a laundry list of some impressive guests. In fact, we could argue that the four best players on the New York Giants will be on our show tomorrow beginning at 2 o'clock.
Interesting.
All right? So if I asked you, hey, who are the four best players on the New York football Giants in some kind of order, my guess would be these four names would be mentioned.
Right.
Number one, I would say this guy is the best player on the New York Giants, Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
Fair to say?
Yes, all pro, definitely.
Number two, Sexy Dexy.
Definitely.
Dexter Lawrence.
Also all pro.
Number three, Brian Burns.
Definitely.
One of the newest members of the New York Giants.
I don't know if he was all pro. And
was he all pro?
I don't think so, but maybe he was. Anyways, he'll be this year.
Number four, a guy who I think it's hilarious because Tommy and Sean fight with each other on who loves this guy more, Malik Nabers.
Generational talent.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the greatest wide receiver to ever lace him up.
Yeah, that's solid.
So it's a very solid list of guests. They will be joining us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Morning guys will be out there as well. I think they'll be joined by Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. So a lot going on around the Giants tomorrow. right here on WFAN.
Do they get Danny Dimes too?
I am not sure about that. And his beard.
I like the beard.
I like it too, but not if he's going to throw pick sixes. Then I don't like the
beard. His first game back, give him a break.
I know. We talked a lot about Danny Jones. If you want to press the rewind button on the Odyssey app to begin this show, here's my favorite part of the week. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. In honor of Clay Holmes, who blew his 10th game of the year last night.
In honor.
In honor of him. He's blown 10 games.
I love the terminology.
Yeah, well, I want to honor him. I want to be fair. What is the most blown saves in a single season by an individual player? So if Clay Holmes has gotten a 10, what is the Barry Bonds that we're looking to get to? Like, what's the all-time record? What are we going to celebrate if he can eclipse that number? So we're looking for the number of most blown saves by an individual player in the history of Major League Baseball. And right now, we will take caller number 5. Is that how we're doing it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Right now, we will take caller number 5 at 866-540-WFAN to get that answer to your baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. I know what's going through your head, Teak. You're like, what's the number? If Clay's a 10,
you're a third of the, or you got a third, not even 30-something games left.
Like, is he close to the record?
Do you have to also have the name?
No, because you don't have to have the name because I did a lot of research on this. It's been done by numerous guys.
Oh, got it.
So it's more what's the number so we know, hey, what's Clay shooting for? Mm. Like, can Clay tie or, dare I say, eclipse the all-time record for blown saves by an individual player?
Now, would he be tying soon or would he be tying down the line?
I'm not going to give you any hints because we need to have an answer. We need to be fair to the trivia question. But I will tell you, the last person to get to this number was 19, I don't want to give the exact year. Actually, you know what? I'll give the exact year. Right. It was in 1984. So it's been a long time.
Wow.
It's been 40 years since someone got to the all-time number. And
in 1984, they were, the closer would come in the fifth inning.
Very, you're right. It's a little different. The closer role was different 40 years ago. It almost made you more likely to have more blown saves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody else after you.
Well, not only that, like, nowadays, for the most part, get 3 outs, no blown save call today.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you may need to get 6 outs or 8 outs or 9 outs or 11 outs.
Right.
So it certainly changed kind of the mentality of the closer. Let's get back to your calls. Let's say hello to John in Livingston. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good, John.
What's up?
Excellent, excellent. So you want Clay Holmes so badly, you take him, Evan.
Well, I take him right now. That's for damn sure. Right. This crap med bullpen.
You can take him now, and you can take Winter for the rest of time. You know, I was looking into a little Clay Holmes on Twitter, actually, and I did see that he's the first person on the Yankees to blow more than double-digit saves since Dave Rigetti did it back in '87.
That is true.
Been a while.
First time that a Yankee closer has 10 blown saves since the immortal Dave Rigetti. Good point. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, 13 of those. And to call back to something you were saying, maybe Yankees could do it closer by committee because I have some stats here from a reputable reporter. This is since May 20th. And it may not include all the players. These players haven't been on the Yankees since May 20th, but this is their Yankee stats since May 20th. We have Canely with a 1.74 ERA, and Jake Cousins with a 1.99, Tim Hill with a 2.77, and Tonkin with a 3.30.
Yep.
And I don't love Tonkin, but he hasn't proven that he sucks. So,
John, I would say I kind of disagree with that.
Well, I
think Michael Tonkin has
just because he sucked early for you guys.
No,
there have been a couple of games where he's not been great for the Yankees.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't even mean the Mets.
That doesn't mean he sucks.
It just means
that he's not super reliable.
I don't think you want him getting the most important outs in a baseball game. I'll phrase it that way.
I mean, the question is, if you're going to come off of Clay Holmes, because that's basically what Aaron Boone is being asked to do, come off Clay Holmes or commit that he's not the starter or the closer from here on out. And he said yesterday that he's going to continue to be the closer for now. So that implies, or at least we infer, that means maybe there's room for someone else to be in that role.
Well, baseball.
And so if that's the case, who is that player?
I think right now the guy throwing the baseball the best is Tommy Kahnle. Mm-hmm. I would not anoint him the closer, nor would I even anoint Clay Holmes the closer. Whether you call it bullpen committee.
He's already that guy.
No, but so. I'm saying moving forward I would. Yeah. I think that the Yankees have to be strategic late in games. Like, I think you've got to play matchups. I think you've got to play the hot hand. Mm-hmm. If a guy comes in and gets two big outs in the eighth inning, last night Tommy Kahnle pitched a 1-2-3 eighth. Luke Weaver pitched a 1-2-3 seventh. I think you push those guys a little further. And I think that it's no longer, oh, gee, it's the ninth inning. It has to be Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he can't pitch the ninth inning. It doesn't mean he's never allowed to get those big outs. Because, look, overall, Clay Holmes has had his good moments. It's just that I don't think the Yankees need to be married to one guy. Because here's the difference, and I'll give you a Met-Yankee comparison. The Mets have, in Edwin Diaz, a clear best option to get their biggest outs in a baseball game.
For closer, because of history and because of what he's seen for most of this year.
Absolutely. Clearly, I think most Met fans would agree, with Buddo being a close second, but certainly being in the conversation, that in the biggest spot of a game, you would want Edwin Diaz in that game.
Right.
Not because he's the quote-unquote closer, but because he's the best pitcher out of the bullpen.
Agreed.
Who is that guy for the New York Yankees? It's not necessarily Clay Holmes anymore. No. So that's how you have to treat it differently.
Yeah, the challenge with it is that you want something different because this feels like it's not working with Clay Holmes. But then the minute you try to do something unique, strategic, like with Tommy Kahnle, say pitching him for six outs as opposed to three outs, you don't know if that's going to be successful. And if it fails, then all of a sudden you've lost that strategic option.
No, just because it fails once doesn't mean you've lost it forever.
Yeah, but if it fails once, you're not going to try it again.
Why? They try Clay Holmes over and over again. That failed a million
times. Clay Holmes' job is to be the closer.
So who made that his job? It's not like the guy's been closer for 20 years.
History has made it his job. Meaning this year's history.
Recent history has made that his job.
History has made it his job. Is he great at it? Of course not.
I think Clay Holmes is a good reliever. He doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all, getting the most important outs every single night.
If he's not the closer, if he's not the guy you come in who you're counting upon to finish a game, who does it?
It doesn't have to be one guy. That's the difference. The Yankees need to be more strategic with how they use their bullpen. And come playoff time, I'd be throwing starting pitchers in that mix, too, because of all the off days.
I never played baseball at a high level. But I would think being a closer is a high-leverage, high-pressure situation. Mm-hmm. So it necessarily takes a certain mindset to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being a kicker in the NFL, right? You can be loose, but when it comes down to it, you have to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to get replaced. You can't throw someone who's never developed that mentality into that role because now all of a sudden they're going to be in a high-pressure situation and maybe not handle it.
So what does that mean then? Because Clay Holmes recently became a closer. It's not like he's been a closer his entire career. That means you have to be committed to him because he's the only guy who's done it over any extended period of time? And I agree with you with some players, by the way, Teek. I think there are some guys who maybe can't handle getting the last three outs of a game.
Yes.
But not all guys.
They're just not built for it.
Okay, but I also think that we've kind of created this in baseball by saying your role's the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Your role's the eighth inning. That is outdated hogwash.
Mm.
Baseball should not be treated that way anymore. And some managers have gotten past that. They know that. You know, Terry Francona, to his credit, blew that old crap up with Andrew Miller years ago.
Right.
It's not about this is your inning, that's your inning. It's this is your lane to go get these hitters out. I don't care if it's the eighth inning, the sixth inning, or the ninth inning. And I know this puts more pressure on Aaron Boone, but Aaron Boone can no longer be married to my ninth inning guy is Clay Holmes.
So now he's got to learn how to manage in a different way.
He knows how to. I've seen him manage for years based on matchups. And I don't think he's terrible at it as much as it drives people crazy.
But he's not doing it with his closer. And so ultimately, he knows that it's flawed. Like, the closer role is flawed.
Closer role is completely flawed.
The closer philosophy for this Yankee, it's flawed.
Yes.
And so you have to change it. And if he's not committed to changing it, then we got to start blaming him.
Yeah.
Because we know what Clay Holmes is. We've seen it. It's not his fault. We're not saying he's terrible, but he's blown 10 saves this year, which is the most in Major League Baseball.
You know what makes it tough for a manager? When the old days, and by the old days, I mean like the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
it was, I went to my closer, he failed. Can't blame me. nowadays, managing, actually, believe it or not, as much as we minimize managing, now you got to manage more. Mm-hmm. Because now every bullpen move you make is no longer about, well, that's my seventh inning guy. Yes. How could you blame me? It's about strategizing. Hey, I like the matchup. I like this sinker ball pitcher against this kind of hitter. Hey, I like this lane of hitters that was coming up because I like the righty-righty matchup. Hey, I like this lane because this cutter works a lot better against this hitter than that hitter. And so it puts more pressure on the manager. Yeah. But honestly, that's the world we should live in. We should no longer live in a world of Clay Holmes has to pitch the ninth inning because, geez, the ninth inning guy. No! Enough with that crap. And that's why the Yankees don't have a singular answer to their closer issue. They have a collective answer.
Right.
During the playoffs, use starting pitchers on certain off days because there are so many built in during the divisional series.
But
and B, manage the matchups better.
But you got to start doing that now.
Yeah, the matchup-wise, not with starters. You can't do the starter thing.
No, but matchup-wise, you have to start doing it now.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to get to the postseason and just be guessing. You're going to say, I think this is the way that it's going to work out, and not have a clue.
And the other thing is, how these starters do, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Rodon, and Luis Gil also have a big impact. Mm-hmm. Because if all of a sudden your starters are pitching really well, like Stroman has in his last two starts, maybe you look at the returning Clark Schmidt and say, screw it. Let's have him pitch out of the bullpen. Mm. Or maybe if Stroman and Rodon are pitching so well and Heel starts to struggle, you do move to that, hey, you know, Heel's throwing a lot of innings. We've talked about this since April about Luis Gil.
Yep.
The possibility he gets moved to the bullpen. So I also think the way these starters pitch down the stretch will have a big impact on how Aaron Boone deploys his bullpen.
Now, the question becomes, do you believe that Aaron Boone has the wherewithal to do this?
Yes. I think he has the wherewithal to do it. The question is, does he have the willingness to do it?
Hmm.
Does he have the willingness to sit Clay Holmes down and say, Clay, we love you. What do you think his nickname is for Clay Holmes? Holmesy?
Holmesy.
Holmesy, is that what he does?
Or maybe Homie.
Homie?
Yeah. Okay. You're my homie.
I mean, I don't know what he does.
He adds Y to everything. Doogie, you know, Loogie, if I was on the team.
I listened to his press conference last night. I didn't even notice it. Now I'm going to start listening very closely to what he calls
Did
Clay
he
Holmes.
Call somebody something last night?
Nah, you know what? If he called home something, I just didn't pick up on it.
It's funny. When you say homie, I think of Homie the Clown.
That was one of the great characters of all time.
Homie the Clown.
In Living Color was the show.
In Living Color.
That was one of my favorite shows.
Look at you.
I mean, come on. I like, what do you think? I didn't watch TV?
I don't know. I just, some people didn't like In Living Color.
I thought In Living Color was awesome. It was on like at 6:30
yeah,
or something.
It was early. So I remember always watching it because it was always right before we got ready for bed.
Yeah, in my wheelhouse. See, for you, it was get ready to bed. You know what it was for me?
What?
Before the Mets game, before the Knicks game, before the Nets game. It was 6:30. It was perfect. It was right before I started watching sports. Like, what's on the schedule prior to 7-ish is really what it is. Because those are the times before what's it called, where you record stuff?
DVR.
DVR,
yeah.
So you basically had to pick what you wanted to watch.
And you had maybe 20 channels.
That's it. 30 channels back in the day. 30 was MSG. 29 was MTV. 28 was VH1. 22 was Nickelodeon. 21 was the channel with Sesame Street. What was that channel?
PBS.
But 13 was also PBS. Yeah, I remember these channels. I feel so old. Let's go to Matt on Long Island. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Tiki, you've been pretty consistent with your stance that Gable and Shane are safe this year no matter what.
Yep.
I'm curious, say they look like they did in that preseason game. The offense really struggles. Daniel Jones does not look like a starting quarterback. At what point does that seat really start to heat up? At what point would you considering maybe benching Daniel Jones, that insurance in the contract?
The only time I'd bench Daniel Jones is if he's turning the football over. That's the only reason that I'm putting him down on the bench.
So at no point you're worried about the clauses in the contract being insured?
No. I know you're talking about the injury thing with the
yeah. That's going to be a factor.
The Falcons did it with Russell Wilson last year. I know that that's going to be a factor, but if the Giants are just so out of it, yes, you'll do it. But I don't think the Giants are going to be out of it, even if Daniel Jones isn't playing fantastic.
It is going to be.
Because think about it. Last year, they were without him for most of the season.
Right.
And they were still kind of in it all the way till the end. I mean, it's funny. I heard Tom Brady saying this once, talking about why he might want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was asked a question specifically. Yeah, would
why
you play
he wants
again?
Because he's a man whore.
He doesn't want to, but the question was posed, would you if you were asked?
Yeah.
And He said something basically along the lines of quarterbacking is so mediocre in the NFL. And he's so right. It's why so many teams and so many playoff races are always wide the hell open. Because nobody runs away with it. It's not like five teams are running away. It's like one team runs away. Maybe. And not even that. And so I don't think even if Daniel Jones is playing poorly that the Giants are going to be so far out of it that it justifies saying, you don't give us a chance to win. You stink. We don't want you to get hurt because we don't want to guarantee XYZ
amount
of money.
Once they're out of it, if they are out of it, I say once they're out of it, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. Yeah. But if they're out of it, you've got to be smart about that. As long as he's giving them the best chance to win, you got to play him.
I agree.
With a chance to make the playoffs, you got to play him.
As long as there's a chance, you got to give yourself the best chance to win.
So you don't remember this because you were playing. And I certainly don't think you were ever paying attention to this. But for anyone who's been to Shea Stadium back in the day, they had a few things that would go on the scoreboard that would really pump us up.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually completely forgot about this until recently. Mike Cameron was at the game recently because his son, Daz Cameron, plays for the Oakland A's.
Okay.
So Mike Cameron was at the game. He was actually on the broadcast. Was like, hey, great to be here. You know, Daz, all that. After the game, he went to social media and tweeted, great to be at Citi Field, but man, it's not the same. And he cited something from Shea Stadium that they didn't have at Citi Field.
Which was?
It was something that they brought back this weekend. First, it's a movie scene. I'd like to play that movie scene for you. And then...
So they play this on the board.
They used to play this on the board at Shea Stadium. And guess what movie this is from? Go ahead.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
And that used to just electrify the crowd. Okay. So Mike Cameron tweeted, yeah, you know, Citi Field's cool and all, but man, I remember that back in the day, that would get the joint popping. And so the Mets listened to it, and over the weekend at Citi Field, I saw it. They brought it back.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what movie that's from?
I don't know. South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. By the way, I thought it was from a movie, and apparently I'm wrong.
It's not even from a movie?
No, I thought it was from Animal House.
No.
And I guess it's not.
No, it's from Network.
It's from Network? Which I don't think that's, I've ever seen.
I've never seen that, so why would I... Was it that popular?
I think that scene just fits a chant at a ballpark.
But in order for you to like make it ubiquitous throughout a season, people have to be familiar with it.
No, I don't think so, man, because I never knew what it was from, and all I knew was here's this guy
Network.
Saying...
What is even Network about?
I have no idea.
It's definitely a famous movie. It got great reviews. I think probably for our older generation, they would say it's an awesome movie. It came out in the 70s.
Right.
I had never seen it before.
In the 70s?
Like,
you guys weren't even born.
But that's why it doesn't matter.
I was barely born.
But that's the point. It didn't even matter what movie it was from.
It was a year old.
See? It was the scene of stick your head out the window and yell... Let's go, Mets. Like, that was just a thing. It didn't even
need... Faye Dunaway and William Holden. I actually probably should watch this.
The IMDb synopsis of this movie is very weird because it could be applicable for today. A television network cynically exploits a deranged former anchor's ravings and revelations about the news media for its own profit, but finds that his message may be difficult to control.
By the way, that movie sounds awesome.
I know.
No, it's a very famous movie.
I've never seen it, but I'm in, man.
But
streaming service is showing this?
Hold on a second.
What?
I know in Old School, they recruited Blue, and he was like 90 years old. The guy in this scene is old. Why would you think it's Animal House about a fraternity with college kids?
You know why? No, and I've seen Animal House. Like, I'll tell you exactly why. Because I so think of that scene with... Over?
Yeah.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans didn't bomb. Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
Like, I just remember that scene also being a part of late 90s, early 2000s Mets rallying cries. And for some reason, like, mentally, I combine them.
Available for rent or buy on Amazon Prime.
I'm in. I think I'm watching that this week.
$3.59.
Perfect. Mets are off Thursday night. That's my activity.
You're giving the Mets more of your money by ordering network. By the way, who ordered the code red on this? Was it a Steve Cohen decision? Is that like, who makes
who the made call? The decision?
Right. So obviously Cameron calls them out on social media. Is that a Steve Cohen thing? Because he loves to bring back all the old stuff. We know that. He likes to dust off all the old material.
I don't know the answer, so I'm being speculative here. I think the Mets, based on a couple of things recently, specifically, you know, the controversy around the first pitch, I think they're big on social media.
Yeah.
And so I think that they probably saw Mike Cameron's tweet, respected it, because Cameron was, you know, he wasn't a special Met, but he was a fine Met. No one has a bad word to say about Cammy. I think we all think of that collision, unfortunately, in 2005 with Carlos Beltran. Like, no ill will towards Mike Cameron. And he expressed, like, a really interesting opinion. And I think being sensitive to social media, seeing the reaction that it got, which was, yeah, that was awesome, man. I think the Mets, in this case, made a wise decision. Because, dude, that would just pump us up.
Yeah.
Can you play it one more time? Because I want to get pumped up again. I'm going with that.
Damn it! My life has value!
I don't remember this part. Yeah, this part. Oh, here we go.
Right I on. Want you to get up now.
Yeah, here we go.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
I'm up! What do you need me to do?
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
What does he say in the movie?
No idea.
I'm not sure. No, but I know what would happen after that. Rico Bronya would ground out into a double play.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at it. I have it right now.
Oh, you know what happened next?
Open your eye and blur out.
A man is telling him
I'm not
going to
take it anymore.
It was that what it was?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured that.
A man is telling him I'm not going to take it anymore.
Is that where that came from?
Yes.
I'm mad as hell, because I know that phrase, but I've, again, never seen the movie. So that movie must be so influential, even if I never saw it. And when Rosie read the description.
Now I gotta download this thing and watch it.
Well, it kind of sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
That kind of you know what I'm on a kick for? Rosie's going to freak out. He's going to turn the mic on and not want to shut up. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
I'm on a kick for something on YouTube, an old show, and I'm watching highlights to where now I'm going to start rewatching the show. West Wing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
That's my wife's favorite show.
So,
you know our dog's name is CJ.
After the...
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney. What was her role in the administration?
CJ. Press secretary and then chief of staff in season 7 after Leo.
Yes.
I watched...
Her name was CJ.
Okay. So you named her after... Wow. So your wife loves that show.
That's right.
So like, a part of me is... I don't want to get into it. But it's like... Do I really need, like, this, you know, preachy liberal president?
I was just about to say, it slants a certain way.
But I saw a scene, you're right, and that's the stereotype I had. But I saw a scene, one of the best scenes of President Bartlet, in which he is destroying a military guy and basically saying, why are we just attacking them back? And you kind of get this sense of, oh, attacking is bad.
Yeah.
And basically, he says, make it worse. I need these terrorists to realize we're not just getting them just a little bit. Like, we're going to make them never forget. And I'm like, whoa, what's up?
Oh, I think
it's like, it's like a rock. Let's talk.
That's season one. I think it's one of the first episodes when Dr. Morris Tolliver got shot down, which was his personal doctor, and he was very angry. And the chief of staff, the Joint Chiefs, had to make him understand that you can't go bomb everything just for one thing. That's not what a superpower does.
I gotcha. So it was more personal. It was like a personal affront.
Yes.
Yeah. I may get into clips. I think my attitude now in this world, I hate to say this, is so ADD that I don't think I have the ability
to
sit
there. You don't
want to
commit. You don't want to commit fully to watch an entire season.
Attention span.
Yeah, attention span. I think I want to watch like YouTube clips of just...
Yeah, but then you lose context.
Well, I did on this one.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was just being a tough guy. I thought he was President Bush. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Meanwhile, he was just sensitive that somebody he knew got shot down.
By the way, to circle back to network, because people are going to go crazy here. I had a feeling we were embarrassing ourselves, but we really did. The 49th Academy Awards. Network received 10 nominations, including Best Picture, and won 4.
I don't care. It was in 1976,
No,
dude.
I know, but people get nuts about the classic movies. And when it gets nominated for Best Picture, and 10 nominations, a lot.
It's not a classic in regard that it holds up, that people have to watch it. It's just not.
Boy, I'm going to have to fight your Twitter battles now, because I guarantee the audience feels that way.
But it's not about if it's a classic or not. It's about the fact, very simply, I never saw it. Tiki didn't hear of it. And that's just the way it is. Like, we're just being honest.
All right.
Maybe it's our age. Tiki and I are a little bit younger. Like, if you're 65 years old, maybe, yes, how could you have never seen that? So I'm not saying it wasn't a class. I don't know.
Is it Citizen Kane?
No, no.
Have you heard of Citizen Kane?
I have, yes.
I've heard of Citizen
Kane. I've actually seen
it. That was like in the 60s.
I saw it. Boring. But I saw it in college.
Yeah, but it's a classic. Right? Raging Bull. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
That's a classic.
But aren't there classics you haven't seen, if we're being fair?
I don't know. I don't know all the classics. I didn't know a network was a classic. To be
all
honest
right. Did you see Rocky? That's a classic.
Of course.
Did you see Field of Dreams? That's a classic.
100%.
Did you see Look Who's Talking? That's a classic.
Absolutely. Okay. Not really, but go ahead. Not a classic.
Independence Day. That's a classic.
Yes, but
Planet
modern.
Of the Apes, the original.
Of course.
A classic.
Of course.
Okay, just making sure.
Keep going.
Ten Commandments. That's a classic.
No doubt about it.
Okay. Passion of the Christ. That's a classic.
Unfortunately, yes.
Me too. I saw the theaters.
That's back when you used to go.
Oh, yes. I couldn't wait to go. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls. Plus, we're going to have a bullpen off between the Yankee bullpen and the Met bullpen. All the numbers may tell you one bullpen's better, but when you actually have a bullpen off, your thoughts may be very different. Plus, Yankee fans, you're rooting for us tonight, right? We'll get to all that coming up in the final hour. Plus, a very special Cinco de Fivo list presented by the generational talent that is Tommy Lugauer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
29 was MTV, 28 was VH1, 22 was Nickelodeon, 21 was the channel with Sesame Street. What was that channel?
PBS.
But 13 was also PBS. Yeah, I remember these channels. I feel so old. Let's go to Matt on Long Island. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Tiki, you've been pretty consistent with your stance that Gable and Shane are safe this year no matter what.
Yep.
I'm curious, say they look like they did in that preseason game. The offense really struggles. Daniel Jones does not look like a starting quarterback. At what point does that seat really start to heat up? At what point would you considering maybe benching Daniel Jones, that insurance in the contract?
The only time I'd bench Daniel Jones is if he's turning the football over. That's the only reason that I'm putting him down on the bench.
So at no point you're worried about the clauses in the contract being insured?
No, no. I know you're talking about the injury thing with the
yeah. That's gonna be a
factor. The Falcons did it with Russell Wilson last year. I know that that's going to be a factor, but if the Giants are just so out of it, yes, you'll do it. But I don't think the Giants are going to be out of it, even if Daniel Jones isn't playing fantastic.
It is going to be.
Because think about it. Last year they were without him for most of the season,
right?
And they were still kind of in it all the way till the end. I mean, it's funny. I heard Tom Brady saying this once, talking about why he might want to come back, and because he was asked a question specifically. Yeah, would
why
you play
he wants
again?
Because he's he a man whore.
He doesn't. He doesn't want to. But the question was posed: would you if you were asked?
Yeah.
And he said something basically along the lines of quarterbacking is so mediocre in the NFL. And he's so right. It's why so many teams and so many playoff races are always wide the hell open. Because nobody runs away with it. It's not like five teams are running away. It's like one team runs away, maybe, and not even that. And so I don't think even if Daniel Jones is playing poorly that the Giants are going to be so far out of it that it justifies saying, you don't give us a chance to win, you stink, we don't want you to get hurt because we don't want to guarantee XYZ amount of money.
Once they're out of it, if they are out of it, I say once they're out of it, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but if they're out of it, you've got to be smart about that. As long as he's giving them the best chance to win, you got to play him.
I agree.
With a chance to make the playoffs, you got to play him.
As long as there's a chance, you got to give yourself the best chance to win.
So you don't remember this because you were playing. And I certainly don't think you were ever paying attention to this. But for anyone who's been to Shea Stadium back in the day, they had a few things that would go on the scoreboard that would really pump us up.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually completely forgot about this until recently. Mike Cameron was at the game recently because his son, Daz Cameron, plays for the Oakland A's.
Okay.
So Mike Cameron was at the game. He was actually on the broadcast. Was like, hey, great to be here. You know, Daz, all that. After the game, he went to social media and tweeted, great to be at Citi Field, but man, it's not the same. And he cited something from Shea Stadium that they didn't have at Citi Field.
Which was?
It was something that they brought back this weekend. First, it's a movie scene. I'd like to play that movie scene for you. And then...
So they play this on the board.
They used to play this on the board at Shea Stadium. And guess what movie this is from? Go ahead.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
let's go Mets! Let's go Mets! Let's go Mets!
And that used to just electrify the crowd. Okay. So Mike Cameron tweeted, yeah, you know, Citi Field's cool and all, but man, I remember that back in the day, that would get the joint popping. And so the Mets listened to it, and over the weekend at Citi Field, I saw it. They brought it back.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what movie that's from?
I don't know. South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. By the way, I thought it was from a movie, and apparently I'm wrong.
It's not even from a movie?
No, I thought it was from Animal House.
No.
And I guess it's not.
No, it's from Network.
It's from Network? Which I don't think that's, I've ever seen.
I've never seen that, so why would I... Was it that popular?
I think that Network? That scene just fits a chant at a ballpark.
But in order for you to like make it ubiquitous throughout a season, people have to be familiar with it.
I don't think so, man, because I never knew what it was from, and all I knew was here's this guy
Network.
Saying...
What is even Network about?
I have no idea.
It's definitely a famous movie. It got great reviews. I think probably for our older generation, they would say it's an awesome movie. It came out in the 70s.
Right.
I had never seen it before.
In the 70s?
Like,
you guys weren't even born.
But that's why it doesn't matter.
I was barely born.
But that's the point. It didn't even matter what movie it was from.
I was a year old.
See? It was the scene of stick your head out the window and yell... Let's go, Mets! Like, that was just a thing. It didn't even need...
Dunaway and William Holden. I actually probably should watch this.
The IMDb synopsis of this movie is very weird because it could be applicable for today. A television network cynically exploits a deranged former anchor's ravings and revelations about the news media for its own profit, but finds that his message may be difficult to control.
By the way, that movie sounds awesome.
I know.
No, it's a very famous movie.
I've never seen it, but I'm in, man.
But
streaming service is showing this?
Hold on a second.
What?
I know in old school, they recruited Blue, and he was like 90 years old. The guy in this scene is old. Why would you think it's Animal House about a fraternity with college kids?
You know why? No, and I've seen Animal House. Like, I'll tell you exactly why. Because I so think of that scene with... Over?
Yeah.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans didn't bomb. Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
Like, I just remember that scene also being a part of late 90s, early 2000s Mets rallying cries. And for some reason, like, mentally, I combine them.
Available for rent or buy on Amazon Prime.
I'm in. I think I'm watching that this week.
$3.59.
Perfect. Mets are off Thursday night. That's my activity.
You're giving the Mets more of your money by ordering Network. By the way, who ordered the code red on this? Was it a Steve Cohen decision? Is that like, who made
the decision?
Right. So obviously Cameron calls them out on social media. Is that a Steve Cohen thing? Because he loves to bring back all the old stuff. We know that. He likes to dust off all the old material.
I don't know the answer, so I'm being speculative here. I think the Mets, based on a couple of things recently, specifically, you know, the controversy around the first pitch, I think they're big on social media.
Yeah.
And so I think that they probably saw Mike Cameron's tweet, respected it, because Cameron was, you know, he wasn't a special Met, but he was a fine Met. No one has a bad word to say about Cammy. I think we all think of that collision, unfortunately, in 2005 with Carlos Beltran. Like, no ill will towards Mike Cameron. And he expressed, like, a really interesting opinion. And I think being sensitive to social media, seeing the reaction that it got, which was, yeah, that was awesome, man. I think the Mets, in this case, made a wise decision. Because, dude, that would just pump us up.
Yeah.
Can you play it one more time? Because I want to get pumped up again. I'm going to...
Damn it! My life has value!
I don't remember this part. Yeah, this part. Oh, here we go.
Right. I want you to get up now.
Yeah, here we go.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
I'm up! What do you think we're going to do?
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
What does he say in the movie?
No idea.
I'm not sure. But I know what would happen after that. Rico Bronya would ground out into a double play.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at it. I have it right now.
Oh, you know what happened next?
Open your eye and blur out.
I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. It was that what it was? Yeah, I figured that.
I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Is that where that came from?
Yes.
I'm mad as hell, because I know that phrase, but I've, again, never seen the movie. So that movie must be so influential, even if I never saw it. And when Rosie read the description.
Now I got to download this thing and watch it.
Well, it kind of sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
That kind of you know what I'm on a kick for? Rosie's going to freak out. He's going to turn the mic on and not want to shut up. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
I'm on a kick for something on YouTube, an old show, and I'm watching highlights to where now I'm going to start rewatching the show. West Wing.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you.
That's my wife's favorite show.
So.
You know our dog's name is CJ.
After the...
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney. What was her role in the administration?
CJ. Press secretary and then chief of staff in season 7 after Leo.
Yes.
I watched...
Her name was CJ.
Okay. So you named her after... Wow. So your wife loves that show.
That's right.
So like, a part of me is... I don't want to get into it. But it's like, do I really need like this, you know, preachy liberal president?
I was just about to say it slants a certain way.
But... I saw a scene, you're right, and that's the stereotype I had. But I saw a scene, one of the best scenes of President Bartlet, in which he is destroying a military guy and basically saying, why are we just attacking them back? And you kind of get the sense of, oh, attacking is bad.
Yeah.
And basically, he says, make it worse. Mm. I need these terrorists to realize we're not just getting them just a little bit. Like, we're going to make them never forget. And I'm like, whoa, what's up?
Oh, I think
it's like a rock. Let's talk.
That's season one. I think it's one of the first episodes when Dr. Morris Tolliver got shot down, which was his personal doctor, and he was very angry. And the chief of staff, the Joint Chiefs, had to make him understand that you can't go bomb everything just for one thing. That's not what a superpower does.
I gotcha. So it was more personal. It was like a personal affront.
Yes.
Yeah. I may get into clips. I think my attitude now in this world, I hate to say this, is so ADD that I don't think I have the ability
to
sit there.
You don't want to commit. You don't want to commit fully to watch an entire season.
Attention span.
Yeah, attention span. I think I want to watch like YouTube clips of just...
Yeah, but then you lose context.
Well, I did on this one.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was just being a tough guy. I thought he was President Bush. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Meanwhile, he was just sensitive that somebody he knew got shot down.
By the way, to circle back to network, because people are going to go crazy here. I had a feeling we were embarrassing ourselves, but we really did. The 49th Academy Awards. Network received 10 nominations, including Best Picture, and won 4.
I don't care. It was in 1976.
No,
dude.
I know, but people get nuts about the classic movies. And when it gets nominated for Best Picture, and 10 nominations, a lot.
It's not a classic in regard that it holds up, that people have to watch it. It's just not.
Boy, I'm going to have to fight your Twitter battles now, because I guarantee the audience feels that way.
But it's not about if it's a classic or not. It's about the fact, very simply, I never saw it. Tiki didn't hear of it. And that's just the way it is. Like, we're just being honest.
All right.
Maybe it's our age. Tiki and I are a little bit younger. Like, if you're 65 years old, maybe, yes, how could you have never seen that? So I'm not saying it wasn't a classic. I don't know.
Is it Citizen Kane?
No.
Have you heard of Citizen Kane?
I have, yes.
I've heard of Citizen Kane.
Guess what? That was like in the 60s.
I saw it. Boring. But I saw it in college.
Yeah. But it's a classic. Right? Raging Bull. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That's a classic.
But aren't there classics you haven't seen, if we're being fair?
I don't know. I don't know all the classics. I didn't know a network was a classic, to be
honest. All right. Did you see Rocky? That's a classic.
Of course.
Did you see Field of Dreams? That's a classic.
100%.
Did you see Look Who's Talking? That's a classic.
Absolutely. Okay. Not really, but go ahead. Not a classic.
Independence Day. That's a classic.
Yes. But
Planet of the Apes, the original.
Of course.
That's a classic.
Of course.
Okay, just making sure.
Keep going.
Ten Commandments. That's a classic.
No doubt about it.
Okay. Passion of the Christ. That's a classic.
Unfortunately, yes.
Me too. I saw the theaters.
That's back when you used to go.
Oh, yes. I couldn't wait to go. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls. Plus, we're going to have a bullpen off between the Yankee bullpen and the Met bullpen. All the numbers may tell you one bullpen's better, but when you actually have a bullpen off, your thoughts may be very different. Plus, Yankee fans, you're rooting for us tonight, right? We'll get to all that coming up in the final hour. Plus, a very special Cinco de Fivo list presented by the generational talent that is Tommy Lugauer.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.